Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
The world is watching Canada as it prepares to become the first G20 country to legalize marijuana. It is a bold move, and one that could create a range of opportunities for Canadian entrepreneurs. That's because producers will operate within a legal, inspected, and regulated environment, which will validate the quality and the potency of the product they produce. Now, as more countries introduce the use of medical marijuana, Canadian producers will then be at the forefront of the supply chain because they can be trusted. Domestically, the market is substantial for both medical and recreational sales. The challenges, however, include regulating, enforcing the law, and meeting demand. Currently, there aren't enough inspectors. There aren't enough certified producers or distributors to supply the market. Now add in our neighbors to the south who are not in favor of this. They may choose to sanction us, or you personally could face a U.S. border guard who will grill you and may deny you entry. And then there is the regulatory environment in Canada. It's new ground. How do you navigate the myriad rules and regulations? To help us understand why Canada has decided it's going to lead the way when it comes to pot, we sat down with Anne McClellan, who led the Task Force on Legalization, for a conversation that matters. Anne McClellan, welcome to Conversations That Matter on this very interesting topic as we're a year out from the cannabis law that will change the landscape of Canada. This is a huge cultural shift for Canada. Why are we doing this?
Well, I think because a lot has changed. Certainly a lot has changed since the 1920s when prohibition of cannabis was introduced. But I think if you look at what both the Liberal Party of Canada has said and the government of Canada when they won the last election, it is about ensuring that we are able to protect our young people, that we can, to the greatest extent possible, get organized crime out of the sale of cannabis in whatever form it might be sold. And I think it is at root, at heart, about the fact that an awful lot of learning has gone on. People are buying in an illegal market where there's no quality control, where there's no standardization, where people don't know how much THC they're getting in a particular product, whatever it might be. And we've also learned a lot in terms of, I think, science. Yes, it's psychoactive as the THC, obviously, that particular cannabinoid in the plant, and that it also has a potential, I think, very real therapeutic benefits, and we're starting to see some of those. If you put that all together, I think people have decided that as a society, we don't need to be afraid. We need to be more thoughtful about both the risks and the benefits, and we need to acknowledge that the criminal law has not been an effective tool in achieving our social objectives.
I hear all of that, yes. And I understand it, and I appreciate it, and I can't help myself, who has no objection to anything right. That you've said, still saying yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of different sort of like areas in which I say yes, but the first that comes to me is, what's this going to do with our relationship with the United States now that Donald Trump is president? What's it do with our relationship with China and India and other countries? We're the first G20 country to legalize marijuana.
At the national level.
Does that not put us in a bit of a perilous situation?
I think it would be naive to say that it doesn't. I think that it is true that the progress toward legalization and regulation began when President Obama was in office in the U.S., when, quite honestly, most people thought Hillary Clinton was going to be president of the United States. And therefore, I don't think people would have anticipated any particular problems with our neighbor to the south, because both President Obama and candidate Hillary Clinton, I think, would have the policy under President Clinton would have remained the same. And maybe it was a little bit wink, wink, nudge, nudge, especially for the UN, because they had states in the US that had legalized. But at the federal level, there was still a prohibition, so they were not in violation of those UN conventions.
Right.
Now, with the election of President Trump and Attorney General Sessions, we may very well see a different attitude, both within the United States in relation to those states that have voted to legalize, and in relation to other countries mm-hmm. and neighbors such as ourselves. Mexico, I believe, has medicinal. They have legalized, I believe, for medicinal purposes. So you may see the U.S. take a tougher stand. That may be reflected then in the kinds of questions that U.S. border officials ask you and me or anyone
else
crossing the border. That's why I say people need to be smart about these issues. But I think also at the governmental level, the government of Canada needs to make sure that they are engaging the United States at the right levels and right places. And one would hope in an ideal world that they would be able to get some assurances around the movement of and free flow of people across the border mm-hmm. and for businesses. For example, our banks, our federally regulated bank, they're very reluctant to get involved with Canadian companies who work in this space because they all carry on business in the United States.
And they're worried that there might be ramifications.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, they were worried mm-hmm. under the Obama administration, but they're a whole lot more worried now. So your point is a good one, mm-hmm. and we need, as individuals, to educate and prepare ourselves, and our government needs to be working and acknowledging the fact that there may well be concerns and risks. I think as that date gets closer, when legalization is a reality, people are going to have to pay attention and make sure that our border, especially with the U.S., is as seamless as possible.
So it's a complex issue. Yeah, we've got international relations, but we've got interprovincial relations,
yes.
we've got national government and provincial relations, and then there's the whole process of like bringing in a regulatory framework. Mm-hmm. Between now and a year from now, do we have enough time to do that?
I hope so. But it is clear that this is a short time frame to mm-hmm. do something this complex. And I don't think anybody should be under any illusions about that. Everybody is going to have to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
We in the task force talk about the fact that we believe on this public policy question, a high level of cooperation and coordination between the federal and provincial governments will be essential. Because any gap, any hole, any vacuum will be exploited by somebody, most particularly organized criminal entities.
Who are not going to just walk away from market that they have.
Because it's a very big market.
Yeah.
You know, right now, some, and these are only estimates, but some third parties have estimated the illegal market in this country at least $7 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody walks away from that kind of enterprise without a fight. But I think more generally, the government understands that it's going to be very important to have the highest level of coordination with the provinces and territories possible.
Mm-hmm.
That actually also takes time to get
yeah.
everybody, try to get everybody on the same page, mm-hmm. because each of the provinces and territories will do their own consultations with their people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how the provinces and territories have a big chunk of this, retail.
Yeah.
That's the part you and I will see on our streets that you see here in Vancouver on your street already.
Right, how's that managed? Who manages
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that will take time and coordination. That's why, you know, again, we worked over last summer. Everybody's going to have to work over this summer really hard. If I were the governments, I'd be canceling vacations. Oh, public servants will hate me.
Yeah.
But, you know, canceling vacations and saying, this is a big public policy file, and we need to be working pretty much every day. Those aspects of each relevant department need to be working almost every day on what this is going to look
if
like.
If this is going to get enacted into
That's
law,
right.
Because when does it have to go to the Senate? And then I guess there's the question of the Senate. Will they pass
right.
it?
Timing here is not, you can't definitively say when this will be passed through the two houses of Parliament, the House of Commons and the Senate. The federal government probably, at one point they were saying July 1st. Well, they've cut themselves a little slack. Could be July 31st, right, which gives them another month.
Yeah.
That, in fact, they will have legalization and a new regulatory regime up and in place by or in July, right? So, but that, it, everything I'm hearing tells me that the government of Canada has not moved from that target of July 18, and that's what they want to hit, and therefore everybody else in this piece has to align themselves to that time frame.
So if one of the reasons for doing this is that we want to provide protection to users, to families, to the country by regulating this product, how complex is it for us to be able to do that? And do we have to expect that there's going to be a transition period? Because we don't have that safety right now, other than maybe within the medical marijuana field. Anybody who's a recreational user, there is no oversight. You're buying it off the street
corner. What they're doing is illegal.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just be honest. There are lots of people out there, especially in this city, who would argue that it shouldn't be. But under the existing laws, unless you're a medical user and have a medical authorization, your consumption and whoever's selling it to you is illegal. Right?
That's right. There's nobody watching the quality of the product.
And that's one of the things. Sorry.
Yeah. But getting from where we are now to where ultimately we want to be, I don't think that we can say that we'll have that entirely in place by next summer.
Well, because we might not have it entirely in place, for example, we do have, under the medicinal use, people are used to going online or having and ordering and then having it sent either through the post or by courier, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is the way a medicinal user using an LP gets their product today. It's very
LP meaning licensed producer.
So it is quite clear that the government of Canada, and we said in the task force report, that if a province was not ready, that access for that province's residents could be made available by using that online mail order or courier delivery, right? Now, is that perfect? No, but it would provide access to adult users in that province if that province did not have its retail distribution network decided or up and running. So that would be seen as a stopgap or transitional measure, if you like.
Right, but with 50 licensed producers at the moment, they don't have the capacity to meet the entire market yet.
So, no, they don't. Well, as you heard from my colleague,
that's right.
That, in fact, there are estimates that vary widely in terms of third-party estimates in terms of potential users and what that use rate might be. You usually do see, in states that have legalized, you see a spike initially because you've got a lot of novel users, people, tire kickers, right?
Right.
Who say, oh my gosh, it's legal. Let's all, and I heard this so many times in Colorado over the past number of years. Well, let's just rent a limo, three couples, whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's rent a limo and go downtown Denver and let's see what's going on and let's just let's
light
go into
a
one
joint.
Of the shops
yeah.
and whatever, right?
Right.
And they may never use again, or they may use once every 6 months with friends on a Friday night at home. But you see that spike initially, but a lot of those novel users are just that, right? They're experimenters, and their use is marginal. So that's why I would not be terribly alarmed if I saw a spike in usage out of the box, because that's normal. But
right.
you're right that it is going to be hard to estimate with much accuracy what you think in that first year or two demand will be, and then how you correlate that demand with supply.
Right.
And again, I think you've heard that supply, they're certainly ramping up in terms of processing applications. Mm-hmm. When I started working with the task force last June, I think we had, 31 or two maybe licensed producers. Today we have 50, mm-hmm. right? So things are moving. There are detailed security checks that are done, right? Because what the government quite rightly wants to do is, again, keep criminal organizations out of getting licenses to mm-hmm. produce. So that takes time.
Because we come back to that issue of safety. And one of the things that I can hear anybody saying is children. Like,
yes.
What are we going to do to protect
That's one
children?
Of the main reasons that Mr. Trudeau and the government provide for doing what we're doing. Look, a lot of people, I guess, don't understand. Under the current system of prohibition, if you look at the age cohort, 15 to 25, we have just about the highest usage rates in the world. That's with the substance being prohibited. That's all those young people actually doing something illegal, running the risk of getting substandard product tainted or cut with something a lot more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. It,
running the risk of being picked up by the police and getting charged with possession, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even simple possession, as we know, people get charged, they have to go to court, they get convicted, that's on their record. And that means they may not be able to cross easily into the mm-hmm. United States.
You're running that risk.
You're running those risks. And that's under prohibition. So maybe we could do better if we legalized and regulated it so that we establish an age, 18. That is really the age of majority for most important events mm-hmm. in Canadians' lives.
I admire your passion for moving this forward. What did you learn through the process that you've just gone through that has emboldened your belief that this is the right way for us to go?
You know what? It's interesting. I think probably the fact and that what we know, and we need to know a lot more scientifically about the risks and the benefits, but that the risks do not appear to be greater than they are with alcohol, and there is potentially so much good that can come from this. Now, we do have medicinal authorization right now, but we need to make it easier for people to do the research, to do the clinical trials, so that we can with confidence tell a mother and father with a severely epileptic child that we know if you take this CBD high product, that this will actually limit the number of seizures your child will have.
So when we started this conversation, we talked about what are some of the risks internationally. Mm. Done right, what are some of the opportunities that this presents for us internationally?
Well, I think we could become, and we are now, a supplier. Our licensed producers are providing product to countries like Germany and Australia for their medicinal programs. They haven't legalized. But Germany, for example, has just recently passed through their equivalent of our parliament law authorizing medicinal. But they have to have product, right? They have, and right mm-hmm. now it takes time. Right? It took us time to get our medicinal regime up and running, right? And getting your licensed producers. So it is going to take them probably, 18 months to get the first licensed producer, decide what they want in the way of a regulatory regime, what the standards are. They'll probably look to Canada to learn in both good and bad from our system. But in the interim, they have authorized medicinal use. So they need product. Well, they can get that from Canadian producers.
Because they're a trusted supplier.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think people trust the fact that we, our licensed producers, have generally been working, producing to a quality standard that is outstanding. And also on the clinical side, I think if we encourage more of our clinicians and university researchers in medical schools and pharmacy schools and places like that to do this research, then that research can lead to new products, more traditional looking pharmacological products, right, that have a DIN number, which means that it's much, much easier to cover them under insurance, health benefit plans and all sorts of things. Now, as again, we discussed earlier, the international community, how they react is going to be important, right? There are UN conventions, how we make the case that either we're not in contravention or if we are, what we're going to do. That's all very important. And then it's how the international community responds to that reality, right? So I think there's a lot. I used to call this a brave new world that we were entering. It's too George Orwellian. I think it's a bold new world, and people need to be prepared for surprises. It's the other thing we heard from Colorado and Washington. Doesn't matter how thoughtful you think you're being, there will be surprises. So it's a bold new world. None of us were alive the last time this happened with prohibition of alcohol and the transition and the move forward to where we are today. I think overall we haven't done such a bad job in terms of moving from prohibition of alcohol, but it took decades, I mean, for the transition. We can learn from that. Our period of transition will be much shorter because it's not that we're smarter, it's just that we know a lot more. Mm-mm. And we've learned from that experience, even though it was almost 100 years ago.
Right. So this is going to be a very interesting journey as we move forward.
It is.
Anne McClellan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We are entering a bold new world.